That is where they need to be. Psalm chapter number 30 this morning. Psalm chapter number 30. Forgot to say, if you are paying for your baskets, and you probably already have, but just make sure you label that microphone or basket money, and we'll take care of that for you. Psalm chapter number 30. If you brought your Bible, say amen. 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 Well, I sure am thankful it's church day. I'm excited. I've been praying real hard about the Spiritual Warfare Conference. I'm sure you have as well. Be praying for Brother Suter and Miss Deborah. They're traveling in next Saturday evening. I'm excited. I haven't seen them in a few years. It's probably been 4 years since I've seen them, but I'm very, very excited to introduce them to our church, and I know they're going to be a blessing to you. So please be praying ahead of that this week that, you know, anytime you do something good for the Lord, the devil's going to try to fight it. And I'm telling you, the devil today will start giving you reasons why you cannot make it to the Spiritual Warfare Conference. But listen, we've had time to plan. Unless something comes up, let's just kick the devil to the side. Be in church and let God work in your family and in your home. Amen. Psalm chapter number 30 this morning. Let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. I ask you now in the name of Jesus to bind the devil off this place, Lord. Lord, he's not welcome here this morning. I thank you for what you've done already in song. Thank you for the sweet songs we were able to lift up our voices and sing to you, thinking about your blood and stand up for Jesus, and we'll work till Jesus come. And sweet Holy Spirit, I thank you, God, for songs like that. I pray, God, now as we enter into this next hour, God, you'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your Spirit this morning. Lord, allow your people to hear from heaven. Lord, touch the minds and hearts of your people this morning. Lord, I just want to be a messenger. Lord, to relay a message that you've given me and convicted me over. And I pray, God, that you'll do the same for your people. Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. In Psalm chapter number 30, we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Man, we could stop right there and preach for weeks and have something to be thankful for, couldn't we? There's been plenty of times in our life where we felt like all things were coming to the wit's end. And I mean, it felt like it was time to quit. There was no purpose in going forward, and all of a sudden, but God. And can I say, listen, if it weren't for God, you probably would have quit. Because listen, here's the thing. In and of your own flesh, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. There's nothing in your flesh that kept you going forward. But the Holy Spirit that lives within you gave you that burning desire. See, here's the neat thing about the Holy Spirit. You can quit on God any moment that you're ready. But God's not going to quit on you. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, at your darkest hour, the Holy Spirit is still working just as strong as he did the day of salvation. There's always that burning desire within you. It's something you cannot get rid of, and I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? Something you can't do about it. You cannot do anything about the Holy Ghost once he resides in you. Now, you can quench him. Don't get me wrong. You can quench the Holy Ghost, but let me tell you something. There's always going to be the Spirit warring against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, and I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost, like she just sang, did not give up on me. Verse number 2, O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast, what is the next word, church? O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. We know our soul is our mind, our motion, and our will. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is what, church? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. The psalmist wrote in verse number 1, I will extol thee. The writer here had in his situation chosen to extol the Lord. If you wonder what his situation was, turn back to the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 5. I'll show you where David was in this time when he was writing this song. He was referencing 2 Samuel chapter number 5. And while you're looking for that, look for 1 Chronicles chapter number 14. Just going to look at a couple verses in each one of them. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 10. The Bible says, and David went on and grew great, and the, what's the next word? Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David in house. He was building a temple, and David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 14, verse number 1 and 2. I just want to show you where David was in his life when he chose to extol the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent out messengers to David and timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build an house. And David perceived that the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. As I was reading this week, I was reading Psalm 30, and I'm like, Lord, where was he in his life when he chose to extol thee? And then the Lord showed me this, and here's why I believe the Lord showed me this. We're in a building stage in our church right now. We are actively building a church, maybe not physically hands and nails or hands and feet, you know, boards and nails right now, but how many would say we are growing a church? Here's the deal. When we forget that God is the only reason that this church has been added to, we're going to fall. We are going to fall. It has nothing to do with your preacher. It has nothing to do with you, but your prayers being lifted up to heaven and God answering your prayers and blessing the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women, the Bible says, availeth much. Listen, it's only because of God that we have an active junior church program. It's only because of God that we're having conversations of needing more Sunday school space. And listen, that's a good conversation to have, church. That's a good conversation to have. But the moment you go out and you start bragging, look what I have done, God is going to bring you down so fast. See, in this building time, David realized his house was being completed. God had confirmed him king over Israel. And David said, you know what? I think I'm just going to praise the Lord for a little while. Folks, this morning I want to preach on this. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord. That word extol in Psalm chapter number 30, you can go back there. We'll be hanging out there for a while. That word extol means to praise very highly. And when I say this, listen, I don't ever want to take it for granted. I love it when the junior church kids get up and I see some of you counting kids. I'm like, man, that's a good thing. You know why you're counting kids? Because it interests you how many kids are going to junior church. That's the only reason you're counting, right? But here's the deal. How many would count if there were just one or two of them walking across there? But can I tell you something? One or two is just as important as 20 or 30. You ought to keep in mind, you know, when you're counting those kids, label them and remember what they look like. And as a church, here's what I began to do. I took some advice. I try to do this every week. A couple pastor friends of mine said, Brother Drew, listen, something that we've learned that church people enjoy is when you reach out to them. They like it when you let them know you're praying for them. They like it when you let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know you're going to miss them tomorrow if they're not in church. Hey, the same with those little kids. We can't text them. But you know what you can do as you do this every Sunday and you watch them and you're like, hey, somebody's missing. And then in your mind you should think, Lord, where is that young lady this morning? Lord, where is that young man that's been here for the last 4 or 5 weeks and he's missing today? And hey, you ought to lift him up to the Lord. You might not know his name, but you know you ought to say, God, listen, you blessed us to have that young man in our congregation, to have that young man hear the gospel. And Lord, we noticed he wasn't here today. God, if you could just send a blessing to him in his home this week. I don't know what his situation is, but God, I'm praising you for what you've done in our church. And I want you to know that we missed the young men and the young ladies that were not here today. Very important. Don't just count them just to count them. Remember who they are. Ask them what their names are. Encourage them every chance you get. When you go by, say, listen, isn't it good to be in church today? I'm so thankful you're here. If you're working with them one-on-one, hey, memorize their names. Call them by names. Tell the young ladies, ladies, tell those young ladies they're beautiful. Because you know what the world's going to tell them? That they're not. that they need to try to be something else. Tell those young men, hey, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Teach those young men how to sit up in church. Teach them how to sit up in Sunday school class and learn to listen and respect God's house and listen. Teach them what the Bible is, and when it's time, instead of, you know, Sunday school, let me just tell you, I like the crafts, I like all that stuff, but listen, at that age, it's kind of like T-ball. At T-ball, why do we have T-ball before major leagues? What's the point of T-ball? We teach them fundamentals. We teach them, hey, okay, what's your glove for? It's to stop that ball, right? It's not to throw in the dirt and pick your nose and, you know, play with grasshoppers and kick your, you know, that's not what it's about. Hey, just like Sunday school, when you get them at 3 and 4 years old, hey, it might take some time to work with them. And y'all teachers know what I'm talking about. Miss Rosalind especially, she taught kindergarten for many, many years. But look, it might take some time, but it's very important that when they graduate to the next class, that they can sit up, look up, and listen up. Right? And why? Because you're trying to relay a message from the Lord to them. They need to learn to do that. But to extol, to praise very highly, to glorify. How long has it been since you and I chose to extol the Lord? I wonder, in our honest answer in our heart this morning, don't raise your hand, but how many would say, this week, I praised the Lord and I thanked Him for what He's done in our church. I thanked Him and I praised the Lord for what He's done in my life, in my home. Or do we just take for granted and say, you know what? God, you have no idea who you just blessed. Hey, you know there's people out there like that. They think, well, I don't even need to go to church. I can have church at home. Let me tell you something. You ought to read your Bible. You ought to read your Bible. The Bible says, fail not the assembling of yourselves. You know what that means? If you can be here, you ought to be here. There ain't no plainer English than that, okay? Don't think so highly of yourself. You're only who you are because God allowed you to be that. You only have what you have because God allowed you to have that. You think, well, you just have no idea who you're talking to. I got so much money, I could buy myself out of anything. You know what? You could wake up tomorrow and you could look at that bank account and it could say zero. Then who are you going to be? Oh, I don't feel so good anymore. You know what you better rely on? God. Not riches, not self-gain, not what you can do for yourself. You remember a man named Cain in the Bible? Who brought everything that he was able to do and he offered it unto the Lord as a sacrifice. And look, it wasn't necessarily that his sacrifice was bad. It was just everything that Cain was able to do in and of himself. But meanwhile, Brother Abel over there understood the importance of the blood sacrifice. You see, Cain offered carnal sacrifices. You know what God said? To obey is better than what? Sacrifice. We need to start looking beyond what we are capable of and understand that the only reason we have anything is because of God. How long has it been since you and I chose to extol the Lord? So why should I extol or praise the Lord? Well, number one, because He has lifted me up. The Bible says there, I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast what, church? Lifted me up. Many times I've been down, and can I say oftentimes, ready to throw in the towel. How many's been there? I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It's not worth it anymore. God, listen, if you're going to continue to do this to me, I'm telling you what, I'm bargaining with you. Can I say that's dangerous? Because here's the reality. God does not need you. You need God. Listen, you know, over there, he said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and I found none. But can I say His will still prevailed? Why? Because God don't need us. We need Him. We need to get out of the mentality, well, God don't know what would happen to that church in Red Level if I didn't go back. Hey, folks, I've seen people leave church and when they left, the church doubled. You hear me? God don't need you. You need Him. Sometimes God has to do some pruning to let things happen. Y'all all right? There's some toes getting stepped on here. That's where I can feel it. Better get them out of the aisle. Listen, God has a plan for your life. God has a will for this church. And can I say, yes, He has a will for your life, but you can make the decision not to go and walk in the plan that God gave you. And as soon as you step out, you know what? God has another one ready to go. And another one, and another one, and another one. Well, you just don't know how much money I give to that church. I don't care how much money you give to this church. I don't care. Can I tell you this? I don't see your name in the Bible, but I see a widow who gave two mites and made history. Two mites. Y'all all right? God don't need your money. You know why? Because He's God. He owns everything. And if we as Christians would get the idea that, here's the thing, if God had your heart, He'd have your pocketbook. If God had your heart, He'd have your pocketbook. If God had your heart, He'd have your time. If God had your heart, you'd be here when the doors were open if you were able to be. Now, I understand there's sickness, there's work, I get all that. But there's also conscious choices in not being here. And let me tell you something, that's wrong. It's wrong. No matter how you look at it. I ain't going to church today. Why? Don't feel like it. Shame on you. Shame on you. Pay attention to that when your daughters and sons grow up in life and don't even think about God. You know, back in the book of Joshua, they were just two generations separated. One generation was serving the Lord, two generations away knew not the Lord. Why? Because the generation started saying, hey, I don't know about this God thing anymore. Folks, you know, we're getting there in America. We're getting real close to losing this battle. It's very important that we get on board and start lifting up God and realizing when we're when it's time and we think, oh, Lord, I'm ready to just throw in the towel. I'm done. This isn't worth it anymore. Oh, but God lifted me up. Think about the last time you were so burdened and you raised your hand in church and you said, can you please pray for me? Can you please pray for my family? Can you please pray for my son? Can you please pray for my wife? Can you please pray for my husband? Can you please pray for my mama? Can you please pray for my daddy? And the church lifted you up to heaven, and God answered your prayer in a mighty way, and 2 weeks later you're ready to throw in the towel again. Why don't you just start remembering what God has done for you? Like David, he was now king. He could have said, I'm David. I'm a man after God's own heart. Don't you have any idea who I am? You know what he said? I just want to praise the Lord for what He's given me. Folks, we need to think about that this morning. If you have a family here with you, your husband and wife sitting together, let me tell you something. You're not the normal anymore. You're just not. You're blessed to have your husband and wife sitting right here in church with you. Most marriages nowadays end in about 2 years. You're more blessed to have husband, wife, kids. I see kids and grandkids sitting here this morning. What a blessing to have two and three generations sitting in church together. Hey, that is something that you ought to praise God for, because tomorrow it might not be like that. But let me tell you something. God will still be good. God will still be good. You ought to extol Him because God has lifted you up. Can I say this? When others come up against you, God will lift you up. And let me just tell you this. If you've been in the ministry long enough, or even saved, we'll even go further than that. If you've been around for any amount of time, you're going to realize that people are going to come up against you. Amen. That's just part of life. It's going to happen. But can I say, as long as you are doing the Lord's work, God is going to protect you. God will lift you up. I remember, well, it was recent. About a year ago now, I was in a church. I'm not going to use names, and I'm not even going to tell you the church name. I was in a church in Montgomery. And I'm going to tell the story because it involves me. I was in a church in Montgomery. And at that time, I thought that that's where we were going to be permanently. And I began to sense, you know, things come up that just wasn't right in my heart. And I kind of sensed the Lord was moving me away, and I began to pray, God, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes here, but you ever notice how you just know something's going on, but you really don't know what it is? You can just feel tension. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I could feel it. My family would show up, And it'd just be like, oh, there's that Barlow family. And I don't know what happened, but I can tell you this. I said, Lord, before this vote takes place here at this church, not this church, that church, I would like you to close this door if you do not want my family here. And here's the deal. Obviously, God didn't want me there. And sometimes, let me just be honest with you. God is going to use things in your life that might hurt a little bit to show you that he don't want you somewhere. My prayer was, and this is a God's honest truth, Brother Waylon, it was a Tuesday morning. I had 10 hours in a loader to go load dirt. And I kid you not, for 10 hours on that loader, I prayed, God, please close the door if you don't want me there. That Wednesday night, Brother Tim, the preacher of the church came up to me. And I'll be honest, he hurt me. He said some pretty harsh things. He didn't cuss or anything like that. But he said some things that cut deep, Miss Janet, real deep. Hurt me. Said some things about my family back in Alaska that hurt. Said things along the lines of, you people from Alaska don't know what real ministry is. I'm not going to go on. I don't want to bash him. I love this man. I pray for him. But went on and ended the conversation with, about the only good thing you learned there was how to shovel snow. You're not ready for the ministry. But remember, what did Drew pray for the day before? I prayed for God to close the door. And folks, he didn't just close it. He slammed the door. And I wrote my letter of resignation. I turned it in. Began to pray, seek some counsel. What should I do? Brother Suter, of all people, you'll meet him next week. I'll be honest with you. He plays a big part in why I'm here today. God's the ultimate reason, but he plays a big part. Here's what he said. He said, Brother Drew, call some churches. Don't look for a place to go. Get out on the road, preach and sing. Use your talent for the Lord. Enjoy the journey. He said it just like that. You're going to see how soft-spoken he is. He said, enjoy the journey. Just like that. You'll see him do that a bunch of times. He said, enjoy it and ask God to reveal to you in time what he wants you to do. This was in March. May, I think, was the first time I came here, Mother's Day. We came here. The door was open. You guys graciously took us in. We came back, I think, 3 or 4 more times. And pretty soon, you guys are voting on us to be here and be your full-time pastor. See, the reality is, it didn't matter what a man thought about me or my family. What matters is God sometimes puts us in situations like that. It's like a trial by fire. You know how easy it would have been, Brother Tim, for me to, and I'll be honest, the thought crossed my mind. No one appreciates me. I'm done. It crossed my mind. Didn't really contemplate actually doing it, but the thought crossed my mind. But here's another reality. The man was right. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. To this day, I'll be grateful, and forever I'll be grateful for that hurt, because yes, it hurt me deep, and although his intentions were not to help me, don't get me wrong, they were not, but he did help me. See, God used him to show me something. One, it doesn't matter what men think about you. God will lift me up. And two, you really are nothing without me, Drew. Y'all okay with that? He used that man to show me that. And here we are today. The rest is history, and I'm thankful for what God has done, and I never want to take it for granted. People are going to come up against you when you're trying to do right. You know, when you're doing wrong, you ever notice when you're doing wrong, people don't really come up against you too much, except those people that are trying to do right and they're trying to help you. When you're doing wrong, the devil don't fight you so much. You say, well, the devil won't bother me. You better watch out. The devil ain't going to bother somebody that's working for him. He got you full-time employed. What's he going to mess with you for? Some of y'all working overtime. I've been there, done that. Listen, when you're doing something for the Lord, the devil is going to fight you. But the Bible's very clear. Where sin abound, grace did what? Much more abound. Folks, people are going to come up against you when you're trying to do right. But remember, it's always better to obey God. Can we go to the book of Acts with me this morning? Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. I like this story. Starting verse number 27. The Bible says, "And when they had brought them, they sent them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey what? God rather than what? Men." Folks, here's the deal. Always, there are going to be men and women in your life that are going to give you their opinions on what you ought to be doing. Let me tell you what you ought to be doing. Filtering everything that you think through this Bible right here, first of all. And if God says do it, you better just what? Do it. Nike had it right on that part. Just do it, right? And if God said don't do it, don't let some man or woman talk you into doing something that God has clearly told you you should not do. And by the way, don't let another man or woman talk you out of faith promise. Y'all know what I'm talking about? God's going to tell us sometimes to step out by faith. And we're going to say, well, I can't see the end result. Let me tell you something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You're never going to see how big God is until we're willing to step out by what? Faith. Hey, it's going to take some faith to spend the amount of money that we're going to spend to build some Sunday school rooms. It's a lot of money. More money than I've ever had in my bank account, I can tell you that right now. Hey, more money than I'll probably ever have. But I don't need that. But you know what? Here's the deal. We can look at that and say, oh, we better hold on to that. But listen, what about these children that we're counting every day? They need a Sunday school class to go to. They need classes in junior church. You know, right now we got them all together from age 4 all the way to 12. Can I tell you a secret? 4-year-old and 12-year-olds aren't on the same level spiritually. You know what they need? They need to be separated. How can we do that? Build some rooms for them to be in. You think God's not going to bless that, folks? God's going to be all over that, and He's going to multiply things, and then pretty soon we're going to be talking about another building phase, because that is the God that we serve. He's in the multiplying business. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Never did He say, be fruitful and subtract. God is in the church building business. Amen? And as long as He's our chief cornerstone, guess what? I shall not be moved. Amen? That's Bible. Look at what these disciples said. To obey God, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of those things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. When they heard that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Here's a man that had watched the miracles of the apostles. Here's a man that had heard about the God that these apostles served, and he is warning these people, you better be careful before you come up against these men of Almighty God. He said, for before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was, what's the next word? Slain. Now listen, God protected one man and killed 400 of them because they rose up against God's man. Can I tell you something? God is always going to protect His own. He's going to lift you up. Always going to lift you up. And all, as many as obeyed Him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also what? Perished. And all, even as many as obeyed Him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of who, church? God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Folks, listen, people are going to come up against us, but God will still lift us up. Amen? That is something to be thankful for. That is something to praise Him for. God will lift you up. God is never going to send you into a trial alone. When those we love hurt us, and by the way, can I say, people that we love are going to hurt us? How many has ever been hurt by somebody that's dear to you? Just raise your hand. Be honest. Folks, can I say, God can lift you up through that as well. Think about this. Oftentimes when people hurt us, you know, it doesn't affect us as much when it's somebody we don't really know, or let's just be real, somebody we don't really care about. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be rude, but we all have people we care about more than others. Let's just be real. But, you know, it's like the new guy on the job, he comes in and offends you. You don't know him. No big deal, right? But what about when your husband hurts you? Or your wife hurts you? Or your son or daughter hurt you? Or mom or dad? Or grandma or grandpa? Or someone in this congregation? Here's what happens. We tend to let that cut a little bit deeper, don't we? And here's the devil. He's got that knife, and he's ramming that thing in there so hard, and he's twisting and gouging and trying to make you upset, trying to make you angry, trying to make you bitter. And can I say, he's pretty successful. He's very successful at what he does, especially when those who love hurt us. But think about this. The many times you have hurt or disappointed someone in your life that loved you. Now, how many would say, I have disappointed someone that loves me? Oh, yeah, same hands go up. Now, imagine this. If that person felt about you how you feel about those who have hurt you. What if that person said, forget it. I'm not forgiving you. I'm not. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm mad. I'm upset. This shouldn't have happened. Don't talk to me. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to look at you. I don't even want to think about you. How would you feel if you were treated like you're treating them? Folks, this thing of forgiveness is a real thing. See, we must learn to forgive. Let's look at Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Here's what happens. We get in this situation where someone's hurt us and we're looking for the grace of God that it just will bestow upon us like it usually does, and something's wrong, and why isn't this happening? Why isn't it this happening? But look at what the Bible says. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, what shall we say then? Question mark. Shall we continue in, what's the next word? Shall we continue in what, church? That grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to what? Live any longer therein. Now here's what I want you to do. In your mind, I want you to replace the word sin with your sin. Imagine it like this. What if it read like this? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in anger that grace may abound? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in bitterness that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to anger live any longer there? You know what God's trying to show you here? You are dead to sin. Is one of my boys in here? Any of my kids in here? Come here, Kyler. I didn't see you sitting there. You got your hair cut, thank goodness. Lay down on the floor right here, buddy. I'm not going to hurt you. Lay down on the floor. You're good. I'm not going to hurt you, I promise. Now look, he's dead, right? Now, if I come up and I say to a dead man, well, you sure are ugly. Well, be real. How's a dead man going to react to that? What if I say this? Your dog's ugly. Dead man ain't going to react to that. What if I say this? You sure do have a messed up family. You'd have been better off not even born. How's a dead man going to react to that, folks? He's not. I could slap him. He ain't going to slap me back. I promise you. But look, you can get up. Here's the deal. If we are dead to sin, why is it that sin affects us so much? It's because we forget that we are dead to sin. Here's what happens. Instead of, you know, coming boldly into the throne of grace, like the Bible says, when people come up against us or when somebody hurt us, here's what we naturally do. We fear, we worry, we get anxiety. Folks, listen, all that stuff is spiritual. Y'all hear me? I'm going to say this again. If you want some help with this stuff, come to the conference next week and listen to the Bible. Listen to the cause and the cure for what's going on in your life. But, you know, the Bible doesn't teach that we should fear, does it? It says our spirit's not a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a what? A sound mind. The Bible doesn't teach us that we should get angry. It says be angry and sin what? Not. The Bible doesn't teach us that we should go off and be depressed about everything. The Bible doesn't teach us to worry and be anxious and worry all the time about whatever in the world is going on that you can do nothing about. That's not a godly spirit. Folks, listen, we've got to learn to forgive if we want our joy back. We must realize, as saved, born-again believers, we are dead to sin. Jesus, when he was dying for our sin, never rebuked anyone for what they were doing. Now you imagine, take a little journey really quick in your mind at what Jesus had to go through for you. I mean, I'll be honest, most of us would have been fighting back the first time somebody cussed us. Right? First time somebody said a harsh word, ain't nobody gonna cuss me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Then you go cuss them. And invite them to church next week. Right? That's how we work, ain't it? But here's the deal. If you got past the words, as soon as they started hitting you, you certainly wouldn't sit there and take the stripes that Jesus took. You certainly wouldn't be stripped of your garments in public, publicly humiliated in front of everybody and just be quiet. You wouldn't let them put a crown of thorns on your head and put a cross on your back for you to carry up a hill. You certainly wouldn't sit there and willingly let them nail your hands and feet to a cross. And folks, listen, not only did he not fight physically, he didn't even open his mouth. You realize he was God? He could have stopped that whole thing at any moment. He could have thought about them being dead and they'd have been dead as a doornail. Y'all all right? He's God. He's still the giver and taker of life. But man, as he hung there before the foundation of the world for your and my sins, all he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, I dare you to try that. The next time someone offends you or hurts you, reach out boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And did you know most of the time, they don't know what they're doing. Most of the time you're hurt and you think, oh, they did that on purpose. Folks, most of the time people didn't even intend to upset you. But we're so thin-skinned, we take it the wrong way, and we just want to be offended about everything. Where in the world is that in the Bible? Blessed are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Folks, if you're easily offended, you need to grow spiritually. Okay? Y'all all right? I'm talking about looking to be offended. I can't believe what that preacher said. You go call your friends, put it on Facebook, blast them on Facebook. How mature is that? You're 30 and 40 and 50 years old, still putting your feelings on Facebook. Can I tell you a secret? Nobody cares. While we on that subject, nobody cares. Don't post that stuff on Facebook trying to rouse up somebody. You want to post something, post a prayer request. Call somebody instead of gossiping with them. Say, hey, can you pray for me? Because I'm not feeling so good right now. I'm real mad. That's okay. That's the kind of angry you should be. But you're trying to do the right thing about it, right? You see what I'm saying? Hey, people we love are going to hurt us. But here's what I can say. Jesus never rebuked anyone for what they were doing. He had every reason to ask why and give up and quit. But thank God, can I say this? Jesus is not a quitter. Let's look at the book of Hebrews. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter number 4 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 4. Long-winded preacher, sorry. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse number 14. Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what, church? Let us therefore, here it is, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of what? Jesus was lifted up into the heavens after his trial. Can I say sometimes your lifting up might just be you're taken out of here? You know, Jesus was literally lifted up after the men and women that he spent 33 and a half years with physically assaulted him, cussed him, spit on him, abused him. But can I say, after it was all said and done, God lifted him up. And today he's seated at the right hand of the Father, anticipating God to say, go get your bride. Folks, listen, he's coming back. He is coming back. You don't know when. I do not know when, but Jesus is coming again. I wonder this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Barb's going to come. We'll finish this message in a couple weeks. I wonder this morning, please, no one looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Listen, it's none of nobody's business what you do with the Lord here. And I just want to pray for you. But as she's playing this morning, I wonder how many would say, Brother Drew, it's time that I start praising the Lord a little bit more. There'd be someone here that would say, Brother Drew, I've gotten away from praising the Lord, and I really need to start praising God more. Is there someone here like that? Hey, listen, folks, I'm a firm believer. For years, I'll be honest with you, I sat in your place, and I would sit there and I'd think, there's no need for me to go to that altar. Folks, listen, you're right. Unless you want to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, there's no need for you to go to the altar. You can sit right there. You can leave those doors the same way you came in those doors. Or you could humbly bow your knee before a God in heaven who deserves your humility and ask God and thank him. Say, God, I'm so sorry that I haven't praised you like I should be praising you. God, I'm so sorry that I haven't been giving you glory like I should be giving you glory. God, I know there's those that have hurt me. I wonder how many would say, Brother Drew, could you please pray for me? There are those that I love that have hurt me, Brother Drew, and I've not been handling it like I should. Is there anyone here like that who would just be honest and say, Brother Drew, that's me. Hey, listen, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray with you. But let me ask you this. What are you doing about it? How are you handling that hurt? Have you given that hurt to the Lord? Have you turned that individual over to the Lord and forgiven them, not wished vengeance on them, but love and mercy? And beg God to show them the same love and mercy that he showed you. Folks, I wonder if there's someone in here today that would say, Brother Drew, people have come up against me. I'm just trying to do right. And people all around, it seems like the devil, everywhere I go, is trying to bring me down. Is there people in here like that? Folks, listen, you're not alone. You are not alone. This preacher battles it every single day. But I constantly have to remind myself, I am nothing without God. I wonder this morning as we stand, and let's sing this song, All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give, I Surrender All.